Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. A warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold, and I really mean that today because if you live in the greater Twin Cities area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and you are in your car, be awfully careful because it got real slippery real fast, and the driving is very winter-like. I don't think we're getting a lot of accumulation, but you know what it's like when you get that little dusting and people start driving a little bit crazy, so be careful. And just keep your eyes fixed on the road and don't look at your phone or do anything crazy. Just get home safe or wherever you are headed. Awfully glad you're with me today. I've got, again, a fantastic show lined up for your pleasure. I've got Pastor Rob Morgan on the studio line. He's coming on in just a minute. And also in this hour, David T. Lamb, who's an Old Testament scholar, which I just enjoy him thoroughly. And then in the second hour, I'm going to have David Wheaton with me and Kylie Crossland. So that's going to be the day. It's already shaping up to be outstanding. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Faith Radio. I mean that with all my heart. So I was doing Real Recovery. I'm now, I think, in the sixth or seventh year of doing that show, which is a show which airs on Sundays at 5, and my co-host George Fraser and I do it together, and we talk about a recovery from addictions of all kinds through Christ, and it's just so much fun to do. And I remember when I was given an opportunity to fill in. I was either filling in for Neil Stavem or Susie Larson. So it would be the first time I'd come into the studio without George. And, you're kind of comfortable when you've got someone to talk to in the studio, banter back and forth. And the way my brain works, it's like I can say something, and then I stop, and then I need someone else to talk. And that would be George. So now all of a sudden I'm in, and I'm going to be soloing, so to speak. And my very first guest is Rob Morgan. And he gets on the air and says to me, oh, you're going to be just fine. We'll get through this together. And I thought, what a perfect first guest. Absolutely comforting and outstanding. So he is my guest today on the show. And he's written a number of books. And the one that I want to refer to right now is like 100 verses everyone should learn or memorize. And I went through that book, which I've loved. And I'm going to give you a verse out of that book to get things started today, and that's Galatians 2:20. And I have memorized it. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We'll take a little break, and then Pastor Rob Morgan will be with me.
During the month of November, we often think about reasons to be thankful. And so from all of us at Faith Radio, we want to say a special thanks to you who pray for and give to this ministry. Your gifts do make a difference, and we're so grateful for you. Now, whether your gift is a dollar or a dollar a day, the impact is multiplied and changed lives all across the Upper Midwest and in Hartford and beyond through online listening and the Faith Radio app. We're grateful to have you part of our support team. And on behalf of thousands who benefit from this ministry daily, thank you for your faithfulness. Now, if you're in the category of receiving blessing from Faith Radio, and you've heard the right word at the right time, then make this month the time you express thanks for the way God has used this outreach in your life. You can join our support team today with a gift by calling 877-933-2484 and press 2. Or give online at myfaithradio.com. Thanks.
Welcome back to the show. Robert Morgan is a pastor, an author, and a speaker. And boy, has he done some fantastic writing. He's written about 35 books or so and sold over 4.5 million copies. But what I love about Rob is he is just this man that speaks right to your heart. And we're talking about a book today that he wrote called Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. I can hardly wait. Rob, welcome back to the show, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. I just enjoy being with you so much, Bill. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, well, you know, the book that we're going to talk about today, Worry Less, Live More, you're going to talk to everyone today about this subject. I don't know who doesn't have enough worry in their life, and they want to worry less and live more, including me.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. One way is that some of us really do have anxiety disorders, and we panic easily. I'm a person that can have panic attacks, and sometimes they're triggered by circumstances. Other times, it's hard to know what's triggering them. So there's one group of us that really struggle particularly with anxiety. But then, even if we are not suffering from some kind of anxiety disorder, there is a lot to be anxious about in life, and everybody worries. And everybody has something today that they're worried about. I mean, 100% of us do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the reasons the Bible speaks so frequently on the issues of anxiety and worry.
Mm-hmm. And, Rob, we always go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't we? Isn't that kind of the place to go for our passage on worry?
Yes, that's the basis for my book, Worry Less and Live More. I will say that there are a number of go-to passages for when we are anxious. Psalm 37 is a great one that says, fret not. And, of course, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 says, worry not. And there's a sense in which the whole Bible is written to relieve our worries. And when I have something that I'm worried about or anxious about, I may just start reading where my regular Bible reading is, and the Lord has promises all through the Word that He gives to us. But this passage in Philippians 4 is definitive on this subject. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And that verse, in its context, is really a very powerful statement to us from God when we are battling things that are worrying us.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look back on many decades of you counseling people as a pastor. And the question I would ask is, why are we so worried, and how are we dealing with worry in our lives?
Worry, of course, is a form of fear. And the Bible tells us very many times not to be afraid or fear not. But we live in a frightening world. And sometimes we are worried or anxious about the things that are happening to us. Maybe we get a letter from the Internal Revenue Service, or we get a distressing phone call from a friend, or our child or our grandchild is in some kind of crisis, or we have a loved one in harm's way somewhere in the world. And so these things trigger our worries because of present circumstances. A lot of times we worry because we're afraid of something that might happen. And these are not quite as rational, but they're just as real. And we're afraid of things that may happen tomorrow, or we're afraid of what may happen to our country, or we look at our children sleeping peacefully in bed, and we're worried because of what they may face in the future, because we know the way that our world is looking at. So there is this tendency for all of us to worry about things present and things future, and sometimes to look over our shoulders and to regret and to worry about things in the past as well. So we are just living in a world that is swallowed up with things that would prompt us or tempt us to be fearful of.
Mm-hmm. Rob, I know words are so powerful, and God's word is so powerful, obviously. But when we hear and see these words, be anxious for nothing, is it really possible to be in that place?
Well, I think that what Paul was saying here and what the Lord was saying literally and in the Greek original with all of the tense, he is saying, stop being so anxious about everything.
Okay.
He was writing to people who were anxious, and he was telling them, the Lord is near. So stop being so anxious about everything. I don't know that it's possible to live a life that is so absolutely serene that we never have anything that makes our heart beat a little bit faster or raises our blood pressure. Maybe that kind of absolute worry-free existence is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that what the Bible is telling us here is that when we find ourselves worrying, or we are beginning to feel the anxiety rise within us, that there are things we must do to stop that and to stop being so worried. We don't have to just sit around and give in to these emotions and to these feelings. We can fight them, and we can fight them sometimes with the help of doctors and counselors, but mm-hmm. we can especially fight them on the basis of scriptural truth. And this whole paragraph in Philippians 4 is filled with a number of steps that the Bible gives us, almost like a bullet-pointed list to help us to worry less and live more.
Mm-hmm. And I'm anxious to jump into that, the kind of the eight practices that you've identified that will help to wage the war on worry. I'm all for that. Can we do one or two and then take a short break?
Sure. He begins this passage in verse 4 saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And so the paragraph that leads on to dealing with anxiety begins by giving us a commandment that we are to rejoice. And joy is something that we can choose to do. I remember once when I was tremendously upset about something, and God gave me 15 different Bible verses about joy. And it's as though he said, now, if you continue on wringing your hands and worrying the way you are, things aren't going to work out well. But if you just decide right now and make a sheer decision of your will by faith to be joyful and to have the joy of the Lord, we can't always rejoice in our load, but we can always rejoice in our Lord. We can rejoice in his presence, in his promises, in his power, in his provisions. If you'll just rejoice in the Lord, then this will work out. And I just made up my mind. I was going to smile and get the bounce back in my step and the sparkle back in my eye. And just by sheer obedience, I tried to rejoice. And when we make that effort, then the emotions will catch up with us. And that really is the starting place, I think, to overcoming anxiety, is to begin with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Fantastic. All right, Rob, let me take a quick break. Rob Morgan is my guest. We're talking about his book, Worry Less, Live More, God's Perspective for a Better Life. This book actually comes with a 100% worry-free guarantee. Love that. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to the show. Bill Arnold here. I was just looking out the window, and it's snowy, and I said, oh, is the driving going to be bad? And Rebecca says to me, don't worry. You go, there you go. I think she's going to say something.
That's exactly what I said.
I know.
Because I'm listening to your conversation with Rob Morgan.
I know. I know. This is great. Rob Morgan is my guest. He's a pastor, author, speaker, and he's written a book called Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. This is one of many books he's written, and he is he's a pastor, and I just, of all my guests, Rob is just one of the guys that I go, I'm so excited Rob Morgan's on the show today. And as we're talking about the eight practices of that promotes and helps you to wage war on worry, we just talked about the practice of rejoicing. Next up, Rob, is looks like the practice of gentleness.
Yes, these are coming right out of the text as it unfolds. And so the Bible says here in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. So when we are gentle, then everybody's anxiety goes down. If you are checking into a hotel, as I did recently, and the man beside you is upset and angry and chewing out the clerk, then what happens? Well, all of us around the desk there, we felt our blood pressure go up. We felt anxiety. Whenever we lose our temper or we have an irritation to our personality that is easily angered, then everybody's anxiety is going to go up. So if you make up your mind to be gentle with people, and the Bible does say that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, then that is a tremendous way of the depressurizing situations and to deflating anxiety. So it is placed here, I think, Bill, in the Bible, exactly where it is in verse 5 for a reason. I think it's part of the overall scheme for lowering worry and anxiety in our lives.
And Rob, wouldn't you say there's anything but gentleness right now in the world?
Oh, there's a lot of harshness. You can turn on the television to any talk show or to any news channel, and you can just tell by the way people are driving or the way people are acting in the stores. We've become very aggressive as a society. Mm-hmm. I don't know whose fault it is, but it isn't the biblical way.
Right.
We're told that Jesus was gentle. Now, gentleness doesn't mean that we are weak. It takes a very strong person to be gentle. But this is the commandment here. Let your gentleness be evident to all, it says.
I love it. All right. How about the practice of nearness?
Well, the next phrase says, the Lord is near. Now, just think about the way all of this unfolds. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. So the next phrase here indicates the closeness of God, practicing his presence. And, you know, when we wake up in the morning, the Lord is there by our beds. If we know him as our Savior, he hasn't left all night long. He's hovering near. As we get ready for the day and walk out the door, he is there. As we drive or walk to work or to school, he is there with us as we go through the day. Regardless of what we face, the Bible says the Lord is at hand. It says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And as we finish up the day and we fall asleep at night, the Lord is there by our beds. When we pray and read our Bibles, then we are having a conversation with him, just like a friend across the table or in the chair beside us. So knowing that the Lord is near is an important way towards conquering fear, because if you have the God Almighty, God of the universe, around you and within you all the time, then there isn't very much to really worry about. He can handle anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's move on to prayer.
Yes, so the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. So he is telling us here that we should replace, you know, when you quoted Galatians 2:20 earlier, you are talking out of a verse that shows us how to replace something, not I, but Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And here, verse 6 is the same way. It's a replacing of worry with prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition. When you have this issue in your life and you are overwhelmed with it and you're staggered by it, but you get alone to a place where you can kneel down and you can talk to God about it, and you can cast your care upon him, and you can transfer the burden over to him, and you can say, Lord, I can't do anything about this. I don't even know the next step to take, but I'm going to give it to you. And we offer it to the Lord in prayer and supplication. Then the pressure for how that situation is resolved lives from our shoulders, and it goes into God's hands. And so instead of being anxious, we give it to him in prayer and petition, like the verse in Psalm 55 that says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be moved.
Mm-hmm. I love it. What about thanksgiving? That's a big one, because I know that we sometimes, you know, you say we need to take all of our prayers to God, but a lot of us, we can go at times angrily to God. You know, why is this happening?
Well,
Lord, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, sometimes it's all right to go to the Lord angrily.
Okay.
Or to go to the Lord and with all the different real emotions that we have. But somewhere along the way, we've got to discover thanksgiving, because this verse, number 6 in Philippians 4, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In any given situation, we can turn around and say all of the things that are wrong, or we can turn around and say, oh, a lot of things are pretty wrong right here, but I can be thankful for this, and I can be thankful for this, and I can be thankful for this. And if we can find a handful of things for which we are thankful, then it makes all the difference. It really is a powerful way of changing your attitude. We know from psychology that people who learn the secret of being thankful and practice it, they have the capability of literally changing their personality. So much depends upon cultivating an attitude of gratitude.
Rob, is it discipline that's involved in making these choices?
It is.
Okay.
We have to figure out ways of doing it. Now, with Thanksgiving, there's a couple of things that I do. Every morning when I have my prayer time, I keep a journal, and I have a page that I just call my Thanksgiving page. And before I even open my Bible or do anything else, I try to think of something to write down that I can thank the Lord for that I've never done before. And that forces your mind to think through all of your blessings, and it might be, your some part of your body you haven't thanked the Lord for, your kidneys or your brain or your nose or mm-hmm. your teeth or your tongue. Lord, thank you for giving me this. It could be something in nature. It could be a verse of scripture that he's given you. And then when I go to bed at night, when I'm falling asleep, I try to think of three things during the day that I can thank the Lord for. If I go to bed praying about my problems, then they may stay on my mind all night long. But if I go to bed meditating on scripture and thinking of three things that happen during the day that I can thank the Lord for, it really makes the difference in the way that I sleep at night.
Oh, amen. So I don't know if I budgeted my time very well, because I want you on for much longer than we have time. I'm serious, because a couple things I want to talk about before we get off. I want to find out how Katrina's doing, your wife.
Oh, thank you. She's doing better. My wife battles multiple sclerosis, and we've had a pretty rough year with it, but she's gaining some strength, and we had a doctor's appointment today and got a good report. So we're encouraged, and we've learned just to take things a day at a time.
Mm-hmm. And I know you give this worry-free guarantee on your book, which is fantastic. If people don't notice a positive change in 30 days, they get their money back, right, through your website.
Yes, and I don't think anybody has ever taken us up on that offer. And I'll tell you, the reason is not because of the book.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because of the passage of scripture the book is based on.
Right.
Everything that a human being writes is fallible. But the prescriptions given in God's word are infallible, and they will work for you. And so I hope that my book, Worry Less, Live More, is simply a means for helping people understand the book of Philippians in chapter 4 better.
It's been a fantastic Bible study just on these verses, so thank you so much. And I would love to just have you back on the show. Like, I don't know, you can come on 3 times a week, whatever you like.
Anytime.
All right, Rob.
Thank you. It's an honor, Bill.
Thank you so much. Robert Morgan has been my guest. He's written a book called Worry Less, Live More, God's Prescription for a Better Life. You can go check that out at Amazon. And just know that he will refund it if you don't like it, all right? But we'll take a short break and be back with David T. Lamb, the Old Testament Bible scholar, in just a few minutes.